You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Mission Matters Business Podcast, your source for all things business. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres. Keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that other good stuff. Always love to connect with you there. And as always, if you'd like to apply to become a co-author of one of my upcoming books, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Become an Author to Apply. All right, so today I have Jennifer Barnes on the line, and she's CEO and founder over at Optima Office. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
All right, so I'm excited to get into today's topic. So we're going to talk a little bit more about hiring outsourced accounting firms and what that looks like. But before we do that, let's get a little bit further into Optima Office. Tell us a little bit more about the company, please.
Sure. Yeah, Optima has about 65 employees currently, and that ranges from staff accountants and bookkeepers and accounting managers, controllers, CFOs, and then we also have an HR division. So essentially, people can hire Optima for any of their outsourced accounting and HR needs. And it's usually on-site and ongoing, and we become a part of that company's team. But it's more on a part-time basis. So maybe a CFO one day a week, a controller 2 days a week, and then you might have some lower-level staff employees doing the data and transactional work a couple days a week, 3 days a week, kind of just whatever the business needs. We kind of conform to help them out and make sure that everything is handled on time and efficiently, and most importantly, that they have accurate and timely financial statements so they can better run their business.
So I'm a huge fan of this fractional model. Like I've seen companies do it very effectively, and the idea of outsourcing and bringing people in, and the fact that you're on site, that whole fractional model, whether it's, as you mentioned, CFO, accounting, depending on the level of service they need, I think it's a big value add for a lot of businesses, especially as they start hitting those growth stages, because a lot of times in the beginning, when things start to get more complicated, maybe you had a business that started, you had a founder, a couple co-founders, and it started growing, revenue grows, and it gets past their level of expertise. They may be very good at running the business. They may be very good at their products and all of that stuff at their market, but they may not be as tight on the financial side of things as things get more complex, as the profit centers add up, as they have more marketing dollars to spend. And so bringing in that outsource help, to me, is vital. Can you talk a little bit about some of the benefits of maybe fractional versus in-house? Like how that works, because I think many people may look at that as a trade-off, but I think they can work in tandem, number one, but I think both have their pros and cons.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, every business is going to be at a different stage. You know, you could have two $10 million companies that are both in manufacturing, but their needs might be completely different. So with outsourcing, you have the right person doing exactly what they're good at. You never want your CFO dropping down and doing data entry type of work or bookkeeping tasks. And then, God forbid, you ever trust your bookkeeper to give you cash flow forecasting and financial statements and whatnot, because if they had the ability to do that, they wouldn't have a bookkeeper title. So, you know, by outsourcing, you are literally paying for exactly the level that you need. You know, it might only be a day, a month of real high-level CFO strategy type of work. And then you might need 20 hours a week of bookkeeping and staff accountant type of work. But what many companies do is they decide, oh, I just want this one warm body sitting here every single day so I can hand them checks and ask them questions and whatnot. So they're paying for one level. Let's say it's an accounting manager type of person, you know, $90,000 a year, maybe $70,000 to $100,000, let's say, for one person. Mm-hmm. And that person is having to do work below their level. They're having to do the data entry and the mundane things that maybe they used to do earlier on in their career, but now they're having to do it because this, you know, business owner wants to just hire one person. And then they're not able to do the work above their level, right? They don't know how to do the strategy. They don't know how to do the forecasting. They don't know how to build out a complicated pro forma model. And some of the key performance indicators that many businesses need to run their business more efficiently, that one person might just don't know what those are. It's not that they don't want to. It's that that's just not their experience and their capabilities. So for the same exact price, you can have three people. Everybody does what they're good at. And then you've got crossover and training, and you've got internal controls. You've got segregation of duties. I mean, all too often, I see business owners that have their same person doing accounts payable, cutting checks, doing payroll, and then doing the bank reconciliation. It's like, are you asking to get stolen from? I mean,
oh my gosh.
Whether it's human error or fraud, but one person's definitely going to make some mistakes. So having some segregation of duties is vital, in my view.
Where do you think, I mean, when do you think a business owner should start considering kind of going down this route? Do you think it should be part of their initial kind of the initial game plan, the initial business plan, or do you think they have to wait to a certain level of growth? I mean, just what's been your experience on that end?
Usually when we start working with companies, they're, you know, if they are in the kind of startup phase, they're probably doing at least $500,000 in revenue, up to maybe $1 million or so. And when they start thinking, oh, I need to have accurate books, I need to have timely financials, what's going on in my business? So we start off with a business like that and give them 8 hours a month of bookkeeping, and then 4 to 6 hours a month of someone higher level, you know, senior accounting manager, maybe a controller. And they only need those two levels and they get everything done. But the majority of our clients really fall between the $3 million and the $20 million mark. And some of them might have their own in-house full-time staff accountant or kind of data transactional person. And then we fill the gaps above that level. So we have, you know, a controller in place, maybe a CFO. And then for some of the larger businesses over $20 million, they just need a CFO. So I might give them one of our CFOs. I have 8 currently, and different levels of expertise and whatnot based on industry. And we might give them a CFO 2 days a week. They might even need a CFO 20 hours a week, 25 hours a week. But the time might fluctuate. So they don't always require to have that CFO 20 hours every single week. It might be, you know, 80 hours 1 month, but then 20 hours next month because there's not a lot of activity. So it really allows for scalability and flexibility so that you're not tied to full-time, FTEs when you really don't have the need to have any one person 40 hours a week consistently. So,
man, I love it. It's just a great model. I'm a huge fan of it, and I think it makes so much sense. And it just, I've just seen the work that's been able to be done, things like that. And that's how a lot of businesses that I've seen have been able to grow is by using these type of fractional models versus, again, I'm not hiring that one person and then forcing them to be either the jack of all trades when that's not really what they need to be doing. Whether it's, again, above their skill set or below their skill set, either one is not a winning combination.
Right, exactly. Speaking my language.
So, Jennifer, that being said, if somebody's listening to this and they want to learn more about Optima Office, two-part question. So number one, what are the right types of businesses and or niches and or industries that you like working with? If any, there may not be a specific one. You may work with everyone. And number one. And number two, what's the best route for them to contact Optima Office to get in touch with your team?
Yeah, thanks. You can obviously go to our website at www.optimaoffice.com, and there's also info@optimaoffice.com would be a direct email to reach us. In terms of industry, we're pretty industry agnostic. I mean, we service pretty much every single industry you can think of. We even have some agriculture clients that, you know, grow flowers and lemons and avocados, and then we've got property management and real estate companies that we work a lot with. Professional services companies, manufacturing, distribution, pretty much name it, retail. We have expertise in really every industry. And we love just supporting small businesses, small and medium-sized businesses. Going in and helping them and getting them accurate information is our bread and butter. We love it.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Jennifer, been awesome having you on the show today. Appreciate your input on what it takes to hire the right outsourced accounting firm and what that looks like and some of the considerations for the business owners out there that are considering it or that haven't gone down that path or maybe that they hadn't considered it and they just heard you talking and now they get it. They're like, duh, I'm doing a lot of those things that Jennifer just said I shouldn't be doing, and I get it now. So thank you for that. I think people are going to get a lot of value out of this. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value. If you did, don't forget, subscribe to the podcast, leave me a review in the Apple iTunes store, and if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, Mission Matters Business, definitely give us a subscribe there, but also leave us some comments on the video. Love to know what you thought and what kind of businesses and things you have going on. And Jennifer, thanks again for coming on the show.